Steph, three. Got it! Oh, how good is Steph Curry?
On one, James.
Oh, are you
LeBron
kidding?
Drops the anvil.
Morant splits the defense.
It's time for Under the Hood Basketball Pod with Jay Hood.
What's up, everybody, and welcome in to the Under the Hood Basketball Podcast with me, Jonathan Hood, presented by Manscaped, manscaped.com. Use my code HOOD. The promo code is HOOD, my last name, H-O-O-D, and save 20%. It's manscaped.com. Guys, you know that you need some help with below-the-waist grooming, you know, down there. You're not just using your, like, garden shears or scissors, are you? Don't do that. They have the Platinum Package 4.0, luxury full body grooming kit. They also have the Performance Package 4.0, all-in-one grooming kit. The Beard Hedger. A lot of guys are wearing some glorious beards. I wish I could get a nice beard. I wish I had a nice beard. You know, I just got hair on my face. I don't really have a beard. But they have the Pro Kit, the luxury beard grooming kit. They've got the Weed Whacker 2.0 for nose hair trimmers. As you get older, you need some help with that nose hair. And so much more. The Ultra Premium Collection, the Men's Skin and a Hair Care Kit. A great gift for Father's Day. A great gift for you or someone else. Check it out. Manscaped.com. Use the promo code HOOD and save 20% off of your special order. Great for the holidays and great for yourself. Well, it is time now to take a look at some of the storylines around the NBA. As you well know, I love basketball, and I've got a headline story. And, of course, I got three other things that's on my mind. So let's start here with Ja Morant. What did Ja Morant learn from the last time that he got in trouble? What did he learn? You hear the story from over the weekend? This happened Saturday night into Sunday morning. Written by Tim McMahon from ESPN.com, also Adrian Wojnarowski on this story as well. The Memphis Grizzlies suspended Ja Morant from all team activities after a video showing the star holding a gun began circulating on social media on Saturday night. The Grizzlies announced the suspension, which is pending a league review, in a statement on Sunday, 2 months after the NBA suspended Morant over a similar incident. The team did not have any comment after that. So, on Saturday, on IG Live, Morant and his friend, Devontae Pack, it was his account, and they were in the car listening to music, and they're singing, and they're driving along, and all of a sudden, there was a gun in the hand of Ja Morant. Where have you heard this before? Well, last time we heard this was in a Denver nightclub, while Morant was drunk and kicking it, and there was money. I've never seen so much money on the floor of a nightclub than that one. There's money all over the place, and he's holding a gun while he's at the nightclub. It's irresponsible, it's reckless, and it's very dangerous, says Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA. So I remember at the time that Jalen Rose, who's had his share of issues in the past when he was a young player in the league, had a one-on-one sit-down with Ja Morant. And Ja Morant at that time said, it wasn't my gun. I'm going to be more responsible. He took time away from the team, came back. And here we are in the offseason, and he's doing it again. So because Ja Morant has not spoken on this, it makes me wonder, is this a mental health issue? Does he feel like I need to hold on to this gun and just keep it real with my homies because that's just who I am? The league does not want you to be holding a gun. It's in the bylaws. You cannot be carrying a gun. Okay, so is it mental health and fit in which he feels like he's more protected having a gun and showing it like he's on a rap video? Is he just being young and defiant saying, you know, it happened one time, but there's no way that I'll be caught again with a gun. And guess what? In the same season, the same year, 2023, Ja Morant was caught with a gun. Now, let me just tell you, I am not anti-gun. I am not. It's okay to be able to hunt with a gun. You need a gun for protection. That's fine. I'm not one to tell someone what to do with their own firearm. What I'm saying is that one thing gun is not, guns are not to be played with. You don't brandish guns just because you want to. Because you don't play with guns. What if it's loaded and it goes off in the car? Here's the whole thing. It makes sense to me that Ja Morant should be on the even keel, should have a squeaky image, especially what happened the last time. If he did learn from it, that's cool. But clearly he did not because, once again, he needs the music, he needs to be with his homies, and brandish a gun and show the gun. I'm wondering, is this self-sabotage? Is the pressure being a superstar with a multi-million dollar shoe deal, is that too much for him? The Grizzlies trying to win a championship, is that too much for him? Is this self-sabotage? I saw Fat Joe, a sports fan himself and an artist for many years, saying John Morant's doing this because he wants out of the league. I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't know. But when you've been caught twice brandishing a gun, it makes me wonder, like, so what's going through your mind? Do you realize that John Morant has the league by the balls? It's not necessarily about Memphis winning the championship. It's about how Memphis is that young and upcoming team. I mentioned young and defiant. A lot of those players, you know, they feel like they've won the championship every time they come down the hallway and get ready for warmups. The way they have the little dance, and they're, you know, very visual. They're very friendly when it comes to social media as a group. And, you know, when you have Dylan Brooks on the team saying that LeBron is old and washed and all this stuff, it's like, wow, you know, someone's got to wear the black hats in the league. And I think for some, these guys could be heels, or they could be character heels where they come across as bad guys. But I think a young set of fans can appreciate the Memphis Grizzlies because they are awesome in the regular season. They play well, sometimes without John Morant, because Memphis has had to deal with that. So my overarching point with this is that self-sabotage is bad. If you feel like you can't handle this, then maybe you should step away from the NBA. Maybe you should do your own thing. And if you want to just go out and be in cars and with your homies and think it's all good, you know, go ahead and do that, but not to the detriment of yourself and the league and the team. So the other thing is, too, is that really, are those really your friends? Is Devontae Pack really your friend? Because a friend would say, hey, man, listen, you've secured the bag. You're our most famous friend. Here's what I would do. Maybe you shouldn't carry the gun with you because you were caught with it before at the strip club. So maybe you shouldn't have that. I mean, a friend tells someone who's made it, who's got out of whatever situation that John Morant has been in his life, hey, man, you shouldn't be carrying the gun. We can kick it because we're young people. It's nothing wrong going to a restaurant, nothing wrong with going to a club, but whatever. But you have to keep your nose clean, because you are screwing up your career. And that's what a real friend would do. But those are not your friends when you've got the video, you've got the camera, and you're showing John Morant with a gun, and then all of a sudden it just goes black. It just goes like, oh my God, this is on IG Live of all things, right? It's on Instagram Live, and John Morant's holding a gun. I'm sure there's a lot of things that happen that you and I don't know, that's not on IG Live, that's not on TikTok, that's not on social media platforms. But the bottom line is that I don't understand how you can go from telling Jalen Rose I got to be more responsible and smarter and staying away from all the bad decisions and then do that. Let me make sure it's very clear. I've made mistakes. I made mistakes today at age 50. I've made mistakes as a younger person. Still making mistakes. But the point is, though, is that you got to be smart enough to be able to say, if I made a mistake or if I had a misstep, I can be able to learn from that and actually never go back to that again. And here's a young man that's going back to this again. So when we heard from the Memphis Grizzlies and they said that, okay, in March, he entered a counseling program because he held that gun in Denver. Okay, Memphis went along with it and they said, okay, it takes the time that you need. John Morant came back. And so we thought that this was behind him and that he's learning from it, but no. But when I heard that the Memphis Grizzlies have suspended John Morant from all team activities, you know what I thought? I thought, well, I wouldn't do that if I'm Memphis. I wouldn't suspend John Morant from all team activities. You know why? Because he needs to be helping the organization. Helping himself, but helping the organization. Because the last thing you want, like John Morant suspended from all team activities. Well, the season's over. I don't know what team activities are going on during the NBA draft or the NBA combine or the offseason or summer league. I don't know what team activity that John Morant would be a part of. So, but if I'm Memphis, I'm making sure that he's actually working with the Grizzlies. And I don't know if this is something that that the Players Association would frown upon. I have no idea if there's something that's legal, but if I'm Memphis, you know what I'm doing? Ja, So you brandished a gun and put it out there for everyone to see. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to need you to come to the office. And I need you to be able to help us through the process of being a better basketball team. Now, is that empowering Ja Morant? Yeah, probably. But I just think suspending him and keeping him out there because you want to separate yourself from the story. It's ultimately what Memphis is doing. Separate themselves from the story. And just like, hey, we're suspending him from all team activities. He's not going to be running. Actually, clock in. See you at 8 a.m. See you at the meetings. You help us get better. You take a look at this film of who we should draft here in the upcoming draft. You figure out what we should do at the NBA Combine. You should help us out at Summer League. The whole idea of them suspending Ja Morant because they want to separate themselves from the story, like, well, we got nothing to do with it. Our hands are clean. Nah, help the young man. Help him. Along with counseling, Ja Morant should clock in like any other employee and clock out at the end of the night. See you in the morning, 8 a.m. Be here for the shoot-arounds. Be here for rookie mini-camp, whatever Memphis is doing. This young man needs help. And I don't know how far that help is. And as I mentioned, I don't know if it's mental health. I don't know if it's if he just has a fascination with guns, whatever, right? All I know is that he is fumbling the bag and being an idiot. That's what I'm telling you right now. And again, I've made mistakes. You've made mistakes. We're all still making mistakes. But the point is, though, is that here is one of one in many ways as far as his talent. Do not be the narrative. Change the narrative if you are Ja Morant. Change the narrative as a young player. You have your mistakes and you can show young people out there that's watching the games and got your jersey and got your shoes and all that. It's like, you know what? Ja Morant turned his life around, so I'm going to turn my life around. Because just because you dribble a basketball, just because you're a talented player and had the opportunity to be the face of the league, doesn't necessarily mean that it's over for you. You have to turn it around, Ja Morant, because what we see here is just absolute nonsense. Figure it out. You want to be cool with the guns, or you want to be cool by being an excellent basketball player and being exemplary on and off the floor? I mean, you know, it's so funny about music and guns and, you know, music and all that. You can still be cool and not get in trouble. LeBron James, Damian Lillard, so many examples of players in the league that just go about, you know, hooping, and they say controversial shit on social media, whatever, right? I mean, it happens all the time. What I'm saying is, like, even Kevin Durant, the list goes on and on of dudes that actually are cool, but don't get themselves into this kind of trouble. I'm hoping that for Ja Morant and his sake and for his family, things can turn around. I know people are casting aspersions on his parents. Using that spot that usually happens, mom and dad, what's up with them? What are they saying? Why are they empowering him? Is he listening to them? Whatever. Ja Morant is a grown-ass man. He's got to start acting like it on and off the floor. Okay, as I mentioned, I got three things that I want to talk about as far as the NBA and the NBA playoffs. So let's start with
number one.
The Boston Celtics did it. The Boston Celtics beat the 76ers in seven games. You know what the best bet in Vegas was on Sunday afternoon? It was that Boston was going to beat Philadelphia in game seven. Sixers on the road, had a chance to be able to close out in game six. Nope. Had a chance to close out in game seven. Nope. Loss. Doc Rivers loses another game seven. And also in breaking news, water is wet. Doc Rivers, the last five game sevens, it happened on Sunday, Eastern Semis against Boston, 2021 Eastern Semis against Atlanta, 2020 West Semis against Denver, 2017 West First Round against Utah, and then 2015 West Semis against Houston. I want you to think about that. I mean, he's lost 10 game sevens in his career as a head coach. And you say, well, Hood, it's on the players. It's on everybody when you lose. It's on everybody. You know, you want to do the blame pie. You want to blame the coach and the coaching staff. I'm sure that Doc Rivers, each time that he's lost in the game seven, has gotten his players prepared through film, prepared and ready to go, and say, hey, just accentuate the positives, hide the negatives. This is game seven. It's do or die. And that message does not get across to the players because those players fall down flat. That game was flat on Sunday, as if the Sixers were ready to go. That's Joel Embiid and James Harden. They were ready to go. It was amazing to watch that game on Mother's Day and watch a 76ers team that had nothing going for them. Game seven, opportunity to lock this down on the road in an impressive fashion. And I'm sure that Doc Rivers had that sinking feeling like, I've been here nine other times, baby. Come on, this has to be the one. We're going to win game seven, baby. They did not win game seven, baby. It did not happen. How is it that the MVP of the league in a big spot, 0 for 4 from 3, went to the foul line six times. 5 for 18 shooting, had 15 points. Minus 28 on the floor. Minus 28, along with 8 rebounds. 1 assist. Joel Embiid, 38 minutes on the floor, 5 for 18 from the field. How is it that James Harden is out there? Game 7, game on the line, season on the line. James Harden had 9 points. 9 points, 3 for 11 from the field. 6 rebounds, 7 assists. 2 steals, and 1 for 5 from 3. So between Embiid and Harden, they go 1 for 9 from 3-point range. It's impossible, right? Philly had the lead 29-23 in the first quarter. You know they scored 10 points in the third quarter? Philadelphia, trust the process, right? This is why I'm not a big fan of tanking in sports, because 10 years ago Sunday, it was Sam Hinkie telling everybody, hey, don't worry, trust the process. Trust the process. Everything's good. We're going to tank and we still want your money. That's the thing that people keep forgetting about when it comes to this trust the process thing or when you tank. I mean, this whole thing is the organization say, trust the process. We're going to tank. And by the way, we still want your money. If you're going to the games, we still want your money. It doesn't matter if you're just going for, you know, every now and then, or if you're a season ticket holder, but we still need your money. Just think about that. And the temerity to tell us, hey, we're going to lose our ass, but just, hey, trust the process. 10 years ago, and where's the dividends for that? Where is it? Do you realize that Philadelphia's 4 losses in the series, Harden shot 12 for 55, including 3 for 24 from 3-point range? You know, James Harden, while he went 37 for 61 in the team's 3 victories, think about that. 12 for 55 when you lose, 3 for 24 from 3. But when the Sixers were winning, 37 for 61 in the team's 3 victories. You talk about a hot and cold player. But again, Sam Hinkie said 10 years ago, trust the process. You draft Joel Embiid, you lose a lot of games, and you're still not where you need to be. You're not in the mix in the finals. You're not an NBA champion. This is why it is so difficult to trust general managers and ownership when they completely tank. Again, sometimes it works. But when you're promised and told as a slogan to trust the process, this is what happens. It's crazy, right? Now, this summer, James Harden can either opt into his $35.6 million player option for next season or decline it and become an unrestricted free agent. I would light every candle and pray. If I'm the front office of the Sixers and Doc Rivers, James Harden should not come back to the 76ers. He is just a mercenary and not a winning player anymore. And I know that you'll look at those numbers and say, Hood, look at those numbers. Look how he's able to shoot the basketball. No. If you have a favorite basketball team, Bulls or otherwise, and you're listening to this podcast, this is someone that you don't need because he will shoot you into the playoffs and shoot you out of the playoffs all in the same season. Sometimes he's available, sometimes he's not. He loves his nightlife, nothing wrong with that. But as far as him being able to be a difference maker for your team, absolutely not. James Harden's a regular season player, but when it comes to the playoffs and you need someone to make shots, not available. Not available. And I heard that Joel Embiid in this press conference was saying, well, you know, James and I just cannot do this by ourselves. You can't do it by yourselves. I see. So P.J. Tucker and Tobias Harris and Maxey and these guys are just not good enough because it's James and Joel doing it by themselves. You know, Joel Embiid at some point is going to leave the Sixers, and it might be here in this offseason. Do not be surprised if it just pops up all of a sudden where Joel Embiid leaves. I've been saying this for 2 years on this podcast, that Joel will be leaving the Sixers. Doc Rivers said after the game, like, if we could just get Joel 100%, Joel, if he could just be 100%. No one's 100% in the playoffs, Doc. It's not about that. It's about a team that just pissed right down their leg, and they're all good with it. Flip side, the Celtics, I want to give them their flowers because the number one storyline of the Celtics was, well, you know, they have this neophyte as a head coach and Joe Mazzulla, and that their spacing isn't very good. How come they don't use Robert Williams and Al Horford together? How come they don't use, their bigs more often together to be able to stop some of the bigs, especially like Joel Embiid? Well, I mean, say what you want. This team was ready made to win a championship, whether Ime Udoka's on the sideline or not. And there's much conjecture about Tatum and Brown, whether or not they can work together or not. All I know is in Game 7, Jason Tatum showed that he is a premier quality, unbelievable player in this league. And I know that it may not be consistent enough for some, but 51 points in a game 7, along with 13 rebounds and 5 assists, is damn impressive to me. 6 for 10 from 3. I mean, Tatum and Brown can play for me. There's no question. As long as you get them in the right spots, I think that those two can be able to coexist. But Jason Tatum, though, was outstanding. To have Brogdon come off the bench with 12 points. That Celtics team, all they needed was Jason Tatum because he was just on fire. So hats off to the Celtics, a team that's been much maligned to be 57-25, to be in the Eastern Conference Finals again. Good for them, and because they played well. But the 76ers, if Doc Rivers is on the bench, if James Harden's on the team and they run this back next year, the Sixers again will fall short. They will fall short. They don't have enough. And then the guys that they need to be able to step up and Embiid and Harden, they just can't get it done. They just cannot. So I find that interesting. And so on the other side here, the Miami Heat and the New York Knicks, let's talk about them before I get to number two. And that is, so with the Miami Heat, the story of the Heat is so interesting to me because the Heat underachieved this year in the regular season. You do recall in the play-in that they lost against the Atlanta Hawks and they beat the Bulls 102-91. This Heat team I've been watching a lot, they've just been flat. The shooting has not been exactly where it needs to be for this Heat team going into the playoffs. But something to be said about turning it on in the postseason. And that is led by Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, I keep hearing Jimmy Butler, which is just a terrible nickname, because we all know that Jimmy G Buckets is better, and G is for gets. Thank you, Stacey King. But Jimmy Butler has been leading this team, and Gabe Vincent has just been a fantastic for this Miami Heat team, shooting from the outside, and the veteran presence of Love, Adebayo on the inside. This team has been able to keep it together. I know the Heat talk about Heat culture all the time, but you give the Heat credit, and here's why you do. It's because we talk about model franchises in the league. You have to look at the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference. Celtics have been fine. LeBron when he's in the East is fine. Giannis winning a championship. But let me just tell you, the way the Heat were able to get through Milwaukee, don't forget, they win the series against Milwaukee, who I thought could win the championship this year. Giannis out for a couple of games. All of a sudden, the Heat find a way to win tough games on the road. Oh, man, to close it out, they win in overtime, beating Milwaukee at Fiserv to start that series. Then go through the Knicks and win that 4-2. And now they're going to take on the Celtics coming up on Wednesday, May 17th. I just think it's been fantastic. Fantastic for this Heat team that wasn't any better than the Bulls more times than not in the regular season because of their shooting woes. They shoot the ball a million times, but it just wasn't falling. It just wasn't Miami Heat basketball. But the Heat won that series much as the Knicks lost it. Tom Thibodeau is a B2C coach. That's all he is a B2C coach. Tom Thibodeau can get you to the dance. You might win a series in the dance. But once, as far as winning the championship, Tom Thibodeau is like one of those old relic cars. It's like when I go to those car shows and see those classic cars. That's what Tom Thibodeau is. Oh, look at that old Thibodeau out there. It still runs. Look at that steering wheel. What, it's got the same chrome. Wow, it looks good. I'm not gonna buy it though, and neither am I buying Thibodeau the same way. Thibodeau is a classic car, and because I'm watching the Knicks, and I know, sorry Knicks fans, I know that you just think that you're God's gift to basketball. You haven't been relevant since 1973, but yet I know you win a series or you win a couple games in the playoffs, and you think you're the greatest thing. You're not. You're just not. Jalen Brunson had 41 points. In the loss to the Miami Heat. 41 points. He gave his all. Had a costly turnover toward the end, though. I don't know why he didn't pass the basketball to the top of the key. He tried to drive it on the inside with the game on the line and turn the ball over. A costly turnover. But he's not the reason why they lost the series. They lost the series because Julius Randle is not a star. Julius Randle, Robinson, Brunson, Barrett, Grimes, Obi Toppin, Hartenstein, Josh Hart. They don't have a star on that team. They don't have a difference maker on that team. Because it certainly is not Julius Randle. It's just not. I know that Knicks fans were tearing down his placard outside of Madison Square Garden. That you don't do that. But you should demand for him to be traded. You got to be able to figure out how to get more scoring in there. Because Randle cannot be the go-to guy. Brunson proved in that last game that he can score the ball, that he can be vital. But if the Knicks are going to go anywhere, they need more than that. And they got to be able to have multiple players on the defensive side that can make a difference. Tom Thibodeau, his teams and his offense seems antiquated. The way they do try to grind teams out in the 90s, that's not the basketball today. If you can't get it up over 105, 110 on a regular basis with guys and giving down the floor, that's what it looks like. And the Heat, any way you want it, if you want to score the ball, you want to grind it out defensively, the Heat grinded out that series.
Number two.
So my second item is the Golden State Warriors who are eliminated. Oh, man. So what happens now, right? There's a lot of things going on with the Golden State Warriors. But I respect their run and their organization led by owner Joe Lacob and general manager Bob Myers. Let me start with the front office first because who knows what this looks like this offseason. Bob Myers could either re-sign with the Warriors as general manager or he could walk. Bob Myers is a big reason why Golden State has this run right now because of his ingenuity as a general manager for the Golden State Warriors. He's one of the best general managers in the NBA, but his contract's up in June. So let's see if Joe Lacob is going to keep Bob Myers around because I don't know if this is a rebuild the next few years or not. It could be. If Draymond Green is coming back, there are no major free agents. Financially, this wasn't a great season for the Warriors, who made $42 million gross in six postseason home dates, about $80 million less than last season. So think about it. Because they got eliminated in the playoffs, $42 million gross in six postseasons, but then $80 million less than last season. So this is a weird season for Golden State. And so I didn't understand why Golden State was so poor on the road. That's the thing. Like, I kept watching them because you can't help but to watch Clay and Steph and just see the ebb and flow of their season. I mean, but I was always just, it was just dumbfounding to see how poorly the Warriors played on the road. Now, Sacramento was the hit of the Pacific Division. There's no question because they were able to get to the playoffs and made some noise, so that was good for Sacramento. But the Warriors were 11-30 on the road, and it's one of the worst records on the road in the Western Conference. They were not as bad. Let me take a look at this briefly. Yeah, 11-30 on the road. They were not as bad as Houston and San Antonio, but they were third worst on the road this season. And I didn't understand why. I just had a hard time understanding this. But what really stood out to me is that this team just never seemed like they were going to get on a roll and get hot. At home at times, yes. But I watched this team and I was just like, okay, Steve Kerr, who I think is an excellent coach, clearly, you're an excellent coach when you have excellent players, and those players work within your system. I mean, that's number one. But just like starting Jordan Poole, sometimes over Draymond Green, kind of a head scratcher. Didn't understand that. The punch that we're used to with this Warriors team was not there. And it makes me wonder how much more time does Steph Curry and Klay Thompson have together to be able to get this to work? Could you imagine Draymond Green, again, there's a possibility he won't be with the ball club after this season. He could be going someplace else. But if Jordan Poole's in that play, in that spot, Jordan Poole is all about Jordan Poole. And he's so unlike the Warriors. The Warriors are about team and team chemistry. And I just think that Jordan Poole is not a Warrior. He's not. Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Steve Kerr, they have been the foursome that has been together for quite some time. They won championships together, that group. But I think that there might be another run for Golden State to win at least one more championship, but the dynamic has to change. So I want you to think about this. Andrew Wiggins is part of this team. Kevon Looney is part of this team as well. And they're hitting the primes of their career. So you have Moses Moody, Kuminga on this team as well. And I think that they can be able to help the new stage of the dynasty along with Poole if he's still around. But I was watching them against the Lakers, and I'm getting to the Lakers part of this. It was just interesting to watch how difficult it was for the Warriors to be able to get their shots going offensively against the Lakers defense and LeBron James. That whole thing with the Lakers is just amazing to me. Because of what they were in the regular season to where they are now, they're on the precipice of going to the finals. Actually, we're getting the Final Four. The Final Four we're going to get now is the Final Four we got in the bubble a few years ago. But I think that the Warriors have a chance to win another championship. I just wonder, will it be with Draymond Green? And can they get Jordan Poole to conform to what the Warriors do? I don't think they can. You ever see Jordan Poole play? Jordan Poole's not trying to pass the ball to make others better. He's in the Jordan Poole business. He's not in the Golden State Warriors business. I don't know how that works. But I think that if Bob Myers stays and he can be able to add on and be able to get some extra help, especially defensively, some toughness, I think Golden State can get back up there again. As far as the Lakers are concerned, the Lakers now will take on Denver on Tuesday for the first game in the Western Conference Finals. Do the Lakers have any more air left in the lungs? That's what I want to know. Because now they're going to go into the thin air in the Mile High in Denver. Do they have enough in the lungs to be able to beat this Denver team with Jokic, who's been fantastic? Fundamentally sound, this Denver Nuggets team. They've earned their spot. Just think about what the Lakers went through. They took on a young and defiant Memphis Grizzlies team. And beat them in the first round of the playoffs in impressive fashion, by the way. They take on Golden State and they win that series 4-2. And what's the highlight? The highlight is LeBron James. It's LeBron James. It is unbelievable that LeBron James can still be able to go at this level. We marvel at Tom Brady before he retired and just say, how's he doing this in his 40s? LeBron James is 38. And still getting up and down the floor and trying to make a difference for this team. In the closeout game, he scored 30 points and 9 assists and 9 rebounds. In the closeout, that 122-101 victory against Golden State. He had 25 before that, 27, 21, 23. But all of this, as I always say almost every podcast when I talk about the Lakers, all of this is predicated on the health of Anthony Davis. If Anthony Davis, you know, who's the body, you ever play the game Operation where he's laid out there? If he hit the side, his little red nose lights up. If Anthony Davis can stay healthy, this is a great opportunity for the Lakers to get to the finals. In the closeout game against Golden State on Friday, the 12th of May, 17 points, 20 rebounds, 17 and 20. What? Laker fans have been looking for this for a long time, for this young man to stay healthy and do something. Now, when you get poked in the head, I don't think you need a wheelchair. You don't need a wheelchair, but that's exactly what he had to have in this series. But, you know, is AD injury prone? Absolutely. That dude is Mr. Glass. There's no doubt. He stays healthy. The Lakers have a chance. That is for sure. 23 points and 9 rebounds in the game before. In game 6, 23 and 15 game 5, 25 and 13 game 4. And I mean, you love those numbers. But as I've been saying all of the Lakers' success, any of the Lakers' success, is based on whether or not that young man, Anthony Davis, can stay healthy. You know, along with Hachimura coming in, and I just think that it shows you that Rob Pelinka said, okay, post-Westbrook, now that he's off this team, I'll handle the roster. I'll find good players, LeBron, for you. You don't need to generally manage the team. I'll GM the team. And guess what? The roster's better. And the Lakers are on their way here. Can they beat Denver? A good team. That's to be determined. Let's see if they have enough gas in the tank to get that done. I'm thinking maybe not. But LeBron still has something left. And if AD stays healthy, look out. Austin Reeves, too. You know, Shaq always talks about the others. He's one of the others. Should be a really fun series. Before we get to number three, let me just tell you that we've got Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood merchandise that is available right now. It's in this bio of this podcast right here. If you see the description, just scroll up. So you see that? There's a description of the podcast, what we're talking about, right? But that link right there says Linktree. I want you to hit that Linktree because that's where you can get all of the merchandise, whether it's t-shirts, whether it's mugs, whether it is tumblers, sweatshirts, hoodies. It's all there. Check it out. Under the Hood merchandise with me, Jonathan Hood. Check it out right now. Order yourself a sweatshirt or a t-shirt or something that represents this podcast. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Click the link tree and boom, you're right in there. Love your support. Thank you so much. And let people know that Jonathan Hood got this podcast, the Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood podcast. Okay. So we've gone long here, but there's so much going on in the NBA. Let me quickly get to
number three.
Let's talk about Monty Williams and the Phoenix Suns. The Suns have parted ways with Monty Williams, a longtime head coach with the Suns. I remember a time where the Suns were the laughingstock of the NBA. Laughingstock. And Monty Williams comes in there and turns things around. After his time with the New Orleans Pelicans, comes in there and turns things around. So Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN says, Suns owner Matt Ishbia never really took to Williams in his latest report. He says, I've been told that Matt Ishbia, who's a new owner for the Phoenix Suns, never really took to Monty Williams from the time that he was approved as owner. Right away made the Kevin Durant trade with Brooklyn, which he largely negotiated and executed himself after the 30-point loss in Game 6 to Denver. It was Matt Ishbia, again, who effectively is running and overseeing basketball operations. General manager James Jones' influence has been diminished. This is a Matt Ishbia production right now, and this comes with a risk. Yes, it does. You're going to hire Monty Williams and then you're going to fire Monty Williams and then bring in whom? I mean, Monty Williams is a really good head coach in this league. The reason why that the Suns have underachieved is because Chris Paul can't stay healthy. That's one thing for sure. And then you had DeAndre Ayton, who for whatever reason had a disconnect with Monty Williams or disconnect with the Suns. You didn't see him in the last game, did you? And it just kind of just disappeared. I don't know what's up with that, but that's not on Monty Williams. Monty Williams will get another job. Could be with the Bucks, by the way. Don't be surprised if Monty Williams is the new Bucks coach because I know he has interviewed for the position. My point is that this already is a problem. Matt Ishbia takes over as the new owner of the Suns, and now he's going to generally manage the team. He's going to be the president of the team. Now, it's his team, sure, but don't you have a GM in place in James Jones that should be able to make these decisions? Now, James Jones is the one that fired Monty Williams because that's what the owner wanted. I'm just so perplexed by that. I just don't understand why that happened. But as an owner, you have a right to do what you want. You want to have somebody else in there? Fine. Is Tom Izzo going to coach the Suns now? The Suns team has a guy like Devin Booker, who is a great player in this league, with a G. Great player in this league, capital G. Now, with Monty Williams not being there, does that mean that Devin Booker is going to want out? The Suns team cannot get over the hump because they just can't stay healthy. And then the Durant move came out of nowhere. And I know some thought, well, if Kevin Durant's there, that's going to be an automatic championship for the Suns. Now, there are no more super teams. Durant was awkward out there for the Suns. Awkward. He's out there and he's trying to say, okay, should this be Devin Booker's team? Should this be Chris Paul's team? This team's already made to be able to do something. And they bring Kevin Durant in and the team falls short of their goals. But it, for me, it starts with Chris Paul. Chris Paul, a hell of a pitch man for State Farm. But when you need him in the playoffs, you know, like a great point guard, Chris Paul is not there. Just like the jingle for State Farm. It's not available. So it's hard for the Suns to get to where they need to be when their legendary point guard is, again, in a backwards cap and jeans sitting on the sidelines. Again, another postseason where he's not available. So you get what you deserve there in that spot. You have to get younger in that spot. You look at Devin Booker and Okogie. You look at Campaign, Shamet. They've got good players on the team, but it just is not working. They have a ceiling on their success, and the championship's not coming. Kevin Durant, here's what's tripped out. I think Booker did not speak to the press after the game, but Durant did. What does that mean? Durant just got there. He's had a cup of coffee in Phoenix. He's talking to the media, and Devin Booker's like, I don't want to talk. Chris Paul, no, I don't want to talk. It's strange stuff going on in Phoenix right now. That's for sure. Well, don't forget, Tuesday is the draft lottery. Should be interesting to see where the Bulls fall in the draft lottery. Going to be funny if they got number one. If they got Wembanyama. Like, I know the NBA Draft Combine is in Chicago as well. I'm looking forward to checking that out. And hit me up on Instagram, IGJHood. I'd love to get your thoughts on some of the storylines around the NBA. And the Final Four is here. Same Final Four from the bubble. My God, man, the Lakers and Denver. I'm leaning Denver in there in a long series. I think that they can outlast the Lakers. But what if LeBron comes through? I don't know. I feel good about that one. And, of course, Miami, oh, boy, that is going to be a fun series. Miami against the Boston Celtics, Jimmy Butler. What a Cinderella story for an 8 seed to get there against a very, very good Celtics team. I think the Celtics find a way to win it. They're already an 8-point favorite against the Heat in Game 1 on Wednesday. I think the Celtics can outlast the Heat in that series as well. So looking forward to it. Love to get your thoughts on the NBA and the NBA playoffs. Thank you, Jay Moore, for producing our broadcast again and again. Under the Hood Basketball Podcast. You need basketball? You come to the right place with me, Jonathan Hood, presented by Manscaped, manscaped.com. So long, everybody.